Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Alice at 97.3's Sarah and Vinny.
They're fantastic.
I know. Don't go breaking my heart, breaking my heart. What is it, Hooman?
I forgot my headphones.
Oh, well, you're going to probably need those. It's that time of year again. By the way, it's Alice at 97.3, Sarah and Vinny, Alice's morning show. The Sarah and Vinny Secret Show pool party is back.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh, honey. This is the fourth year in a row we're doing this. I get a little bit giddy when we talk about it. Like, it is so fun. First of all, we go up to the Fairmont Sonoma Mission Inn and Spa. It's so beautiful there. Gorgeous.
Why now?
Oh. And then we do a secret show in the evening, and there's a bar. I mean, it's just so fun. And then we all march over to the pool where we start doing karaoke, and we do like floaty races.
Yep.
And
then Sarah and Vinny go to bed. And
yeah,
and Sarah's and husband entertains the masses.
I know. I don't even know if he's coming with me this year.
Sarah and Vinny yell from their room, "Shut up!
Shut up, you guys! We got to get up and do a show tomorrow morning.
It's 8:00."
Every single morning we get up and do the show the next day. The tales of her husband. Oh. And his antics and his guitar play. We sang until someone came
kicked
and
us out.
Told us to
They've
leave.
They've been kicked out of a few places over there. Yeah, John has a great time at those. Because he doesn't have to worry about getting up in the morning.
Right.
In fact, he rarely makes it to the show the next morning. I usually go to the room and wake him up so we can all go to breakfast.
Our dude, Alan, from Bananas, had written and said, "Hey, I was thinking of coming." And I was like, "Oh, you should, you know, it's fun." And he's like, "Well, you know, can you hang?" And I was like, "Well, I can hang till bedtime."
Yeah.
And that's
the
seven.
The answer's no,
and
Alan.
So I said, you know, but to the point I was making, Sarah's husband entertains well into the evening
hours. Oh, you have a friend there, Alan.
So,
no problem.
Don't worry.
You got a friend.
So here's
the
deal.
Alan on the guest
list. Oh, yeah, put
right
him on the list. And listen, Alan, if you're listening right now, book a damn room there. You got it, because that's the thing. You want to stay there. I don't want to like say you got to book a room, but you got to book a room.
You want to book
and
a room, and you definitely can't sleep in my room or Sarah's room.
There's no
way. We both
way.
Go to bed at 7, and then we got to get up at 6
we
or
get,
5.
We get real cranky if someone comes in and wakes us up, right. John. So the deal, too, is that so we're going to do the secret show on the Wednesday night. So, oh, it's July 11th, so it's less than a month away. We do the secret show. We do the pool party. We go to bed. Then we wake up in the morning and we do a regular morning show broadcast from the same place that we did. It's a big tent and there's a breakfast set up. So it's really fun. That's open to the public. You don't need a ticket for that. You don't need to be any certain age. Please stop by on your way to work, or if you've got some time in the morning, you know, if you like the show, we'd love to say hi. That's open to the public. That's Thursday, July 12th. So mark that on your calendar. But you need a ticket to get into the pool party and the live secret show the night before on the Wednesday. And now is your chance to get one. We'll take call number 97 right now, 800-400-3697. We'll put you on the list for our secret show and pool party at the Fairmont Sonoma Mission Inn and Spa. And then you'll be in the running for the daily grand prize, which is two nights at the Fairmont. And yesterday's winner was Mariela from Richmond.
Oh,
so
okay.
We'll be meeting up with her, and she's got a couple nights to stay there. Throughout the day today, we're going to get people qualified. So keep it here on the Alice, and then what did it say? Thursday. So tomorrow morning, we'll tell you who won today's grand prize. It could be you. Be calling 97 right now, 800-400-3697. You have to be over 21 to win your way into the secret show. It is a booze-fueled raunch fest.
Okay, I only have 1 minute for text before we have to go to the movie review, so let me hurry through these.
All
Sarah,
right.
You have to take a look at Stephen Colbert from, I think, Friday. If you haven't seen it, he's on steroids and talks about it. I thought of you.
What's he on steroids for?
Take a look at it.
All right.
Pretty cool about the mayor's race. Three top choices, an African-American woman, a gay man, and an Asian-American woman. Pretty cool to be alive in 2018.
It is. And congratulations, London Breed, who came out on top.
Yep.
707 says, totally relate to Vinny's wife, I mean girlfriend, from the working at home thing.
Well, soon to be wife. I mean,
well, yeah, I mean.
You are engaged to be married.
If all goes as it should, yes.
Hashtag boot up.
What? Yeah.
Boot up.
You heard me.
Hey, speaking of, can you switch your ring to, can you wear the ring on your right hand?
I guess you, there's no law.
You can.
But that
it doesn't, it's not the same representation.
It's not. Right.
Yeah, right. You got to say that I'm taken, Vinny.
So it's got to be on that finger or it's not the right thing. Yeah. All right.
Unless you're trying to say something.
Hooman's still getting the winner, so take
your
time.
Yeah, keep going.
Oh, okay, good.
And no one's here to play the, you know, there's normally 2 minutes of intro.
Are you going to play the intro? Oh, he's running over.
Oh, he's running in. Well, you don't have to play it right the second. I mean.
He can do it now. Oh. I mean, our texters are bummed. They didn't get their turn.
Thank you for that last piece.
Even when he's not here, he's here.
He's here in spirit, no matter what. Oh, Hooman's now running back.
Oh.
Hooman's playing Hooman and Bryn today.
All right, everyone. Welcome to the movie reviews. I want to congratulate Amy. She was caller 97. I'm going to be calling her back in about 20 minutes to get all her info.
All right.
You did it.
But it's time to peek for the week, everyone. We have 2.5 movie reviews for you today.
Oh, a half a one.
Uh-oh. I know. It's rare, but it happens every once in a while. So we're going to start with a film that we didn't think was going to be very good. A film called Tag.
Right.
Called with Jeremy Renner, John Hamm, Rashida Jones, Hannibal Buress, and Isla Fisher. So this film is loosely based on a true story about a group of friends who have played tag with each other for their entire lives, over 30 years, over 40 years. At times, tagging someone requires traveling all around the country, getting off a plane, hiding behind a corner, and then all of a sudden the person tags the other person.
And then has to run away?
No, there's no tag backs. You can't tag back that exact same person right away. You have to tag someone else first.
But it's important to remember, too, though, that in the movie and in real life, it was only the month of May that year that the game of tag was on.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, so they bring it down to 1 month, and during that month, everybody's playing tag. And you could be around the world, but the game is on during the month of May. That's the official rule.
So,
is there a way to win if you're not it?
Well, whoever's it at the end of the month is the loser. They just have to wait until the following year and start the game up all over again.
Oh, goodness.
So, Rudy, when you heard about the premise of this film, what were your expectations?
Okay, this is going to be weird because I really thought that the premise of the movie was going to be corny. I thought that it seems
dumb.
Yeah, yeah. But that's the funny part, though. I thought it was dumb and I thought it was corny until I realized it was a true story. Or it was based off a true story. Then it became kind of appealing. And I was like, well, wait a minute. You're telling me that there's grown men out there that actually played this game well into their 40s and their 50s? Now I kind of want to see the movie. So you mix that in with the fact that you had some great guys in the cast, some really funny dudes. Ed Helms was hilarious. And, you know, initially I thought it was going to be bad. I thought it was just going to be some sort of, you know, let's whip up a movie.
Right.
But no, when I realized it was a true story, changed the whole game.
So it sounds like you think they pulled it. You thought this film was well executed and funny.
Yes. And first of all, I thought it was way funnier than I expected. There was a lot of great lines in there.
Yeah, it seems so dumb.
Like, I should have known better, though, because you got guys like Ed Helms. You got guys like Jeremy Renner. John Hamm was very funny as well. So I should have known better. You got some actual characters on in the movie. But it just initially, I just thought it was going to be bad.
Yes.
But did not end up being that way.
Who in this star-studded cast would you say stole the film?
Okay, this is another curveball. Isla Fisher was hilarious in this movie.
What's her name again?
Isla? Am I saying it right?
Yeah, no. You're saying it perfectly. He said it perfectly. Don't correct
Isla.
Him.
Isla.
No, call her Isla.
More plumper. There, yeah, go ahead, add that. That's another hashtag. Isla Fisher was hilarious, and she always is. I just did not expect her to do it again.
Yeah.
Vinny, did you know her name was Isla?
Well, he has
a kid. My kid's name is Isla.
Oh, snap. Okay, then you definitely know. Okay, you definitely know how to pronounce the name.
Isla. Get used to it, Vinny. You're going to be hearing that a lot.
It's a new name in town.
I was rooting for Ripley the whole time, so, you know, the name didn't.
They would be calling her Ripley.
Yeah. Back to you guys.
Has she been called Isla yet by anyone?
I'm sure somebody has.
Absolutely. You did not make a rare mistake.
I'm making it cool now.
All right, so you think it was Isla. That's cool. I thought Hannibal Buress stole the film.
All right.
Oh. Did this film cross the line? Were there any jokes that were too much that you maybe want to warn the audience about?
Yeah, there was one joke really in particular, okay? Everybody was having a laugh fest. People were just, you know, kind of reacting to the zingers, and everything was fine and dandy. And then there was one joke, and I don't want to spoil it, but there was one joke that involved someone being pregnant. So, you know, that can go in a lot of different directions, but it did walk that line that a lot of people have set for modern day comedy, where I heard a lot of people gasp.
The whole theater went, oh, yeah. Come on.
Yeah, but it was one of those.
See, it crossed the line.
Well, here's the thing, though. I don't know if it crossed.
Did it cross your line?
No, my line is extremely.
He doesn't have
far.
A line.
I don't even have a line. I can't see a line. I don't want to have a line because I don't want to be one of these gaspers. Because the thing is that these gaspers, what they do is they gasp, but they laugh. And then they go, aw. Because they want to intellectually not be, you know, entertained. But it was a funny joke, you know, and when something's funny, you're just going to get the
response.
Was
it the funniest joke in the film to you?
No, it wasn't the funniest joke in the film. It was just, it was a vital part of the plot. It really was. I know it sounds a little like I'm reaching a little bit. But
yeah.
It is a vital part of the plot.
And the guy was pissed.
Yeah.
And he didn't know what to say, so he just started saying inappropriate
stuff.
But
it wasn't the funniest joke. It was just a joke.
It's a gasp joke in a sea of a lot of jokes towards the end.
Yeah.
And she's in her bride's dress at the time. Yikes. Okay, so this film is rated R. Would you say this film is a soft R or a hard R?
I'm going to go with the soft R.
I'm going to say it's a hard R, everyone.
Hard R?
Yeah.
What makes it a hard R for you?
So for me, I think about taking kids. So there are movies that are R-rated where I'm like, you can take a kid to that. This one I don't think you could take a kid to.
Why? You're not supposed to take a kid to an
R-rated
movie.
Well, I know you're
not
supposed to, but there's so much bad parenting today.
I just want to jump on that train.
Like, can you believe certain parents take their kids to the movie Ted?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did.
I know. I'm talking about you.
Oh, you lied.
What do you think I'm talking about?
It was a stuffed animal. There was
right?
poop.
Jeez. Who'd have known there was going to be
like
so many bongs
parenting.
In it?
Anyway, that's my barometer for a soft R, hard R.
I'm gonna go with the soft R. This to me was a soft R because they had just too many jokes. It was just too many like universal jokes that everybody could understand. It did have this one moment which was vital to the entire plot. But overall, though, it was whimsical. It was entertaining. They had a lot of zingers.
Oh.
You know, it was fun. Soft R.
At the end of the film, when you see the actual group of guys, the film is based on. Who or what was missing?
Well, the funniest thing, and I'm sorry, but I can't help but notice this. The same thing that happened in the movie 12 Strong. In 12 Strong, they put Michael Pena in there. This is based off a true story, the movie 12 Strong.
The guys who went to Afghanistan.
Yeah, mm-hmm. after 9/11, right? So they put Michael Pena in there as part of like a vital role in the movie. And then at the end of the movie, when you see the actual guys that were on the front line, there was no Mexican dudes there. And I know Mexican dudes well. I could spot one from a mile away. There was not one Mexican dude in that lineup. Same thing in this movie, which I'm sorry, it was hilarious. Hannibal Buress, who plays such a big role in the movie, had all these zingers. He's clearly the one black dude in the group. Then at the end of the movie,
let's make this movie a little diverse.
Yes, they totally Hollywooded it up, you know. And then at the end of the movie, when they actually show the group of guys like taking pictures and like doing an interview with the group of guys that started this game, no black dudes.
Sum it all up. Let me just
hold on, just real quick. Don't you think though that as we try to get more diversity into film? This true story is one where we can just fudge it all up and do whatever we want so we get some more diversity in film.
Yeah, you know, I understand what they're doing. I totally understand what they're doing.
This isn't one of those true stories where they're like, they've screwed up history.
Right. It's not like Denzel Washington is playing George Washington. I get that, you know, but it just seems it seems a little disingenuous, you know, when you're like expecting to see this group of guys and one black guy because Hannibal Buress is in the movie. And then it's like an even whiter guy that's taking Hannibal Buress' place. So you couldn't help but notice that. I thought that was funny. It didn't, you know, ruin the movie for me, but I thought it was funny to see that.
Yeah, I know we're running out of time, but just give us extra time. Sum it all up. Let me just say this. I had zero expectations for this film. One of my friends, we'll just call him Joey. He was in the theater saying, "Hooman, my friend says this movie sucks." Well, we were all pleasantly surprised. I laughed. Joey laughed. This film is a hard R. Don't take your kids. I'm giving it 3 3/4 Persian rugs.
Wow, hard R. You're sticking with the hard R. I'm going to give this thing 3.5 pinatas. 3.5.
Filled with what?
It's going to be filled with all these tags. All these tags. These Ed Helms tags. Ed Helms had some of the funniest costumes in this movie.
He was good.
So he was one of the stars, but I'm going to give it 3.5 pinatas overall.
All right, everyone. Here's your review of the highly anticipated Incredibles 2. Craig T. Nelson, Holly Hunter, Catherine Keener, Samuel Jackson, John Ratzenberger, directed by Brad Bird. So this film picks up right where the first Incredibles left off 14 years ago.
Oh, really?
Huge gap.
Oh, yeah, 2004. So the Incredibles, this one begins right when the Underminer breaks through. This one picks up right from there.
Oh, that's the one played by John Ratzenberger.
So the family is still hiding out because supers are still illegal, and they're still fighting that, so... That's the plot. There seems to be a theme in Hollywood, Rudy. Films like Ocean's 8, Mad Max with Charlize, Wonder Woman, Star Wars with Rey, Frozen, Rogue One. Strong female leads and a bunch of impotent men. Does Incredibles 2 keep this trend?
They did. They went for it. They went for the gusto. I mean, it was not... Obviously, I didn't have a problem with it, and I didn't really notice it until, you know, I started... thinking about it. We kind of talked about it in the theater.
Yeah.
But yeah, there was definitely some very strong... leading female roles in this movie.
Who's the star of this?
Elastigirl. Mr. Incredible's wife. Well, you know, without saying too much, Mr. Incredible spends more time at home than Elastigirl
raising
does.
The kids.
So there was a little bit of a switching of the roles, which is, that's not the entire movie, but that was definitely a big point in the movie that they were trying to make. So, no, more power to Elastigirl for being a strong, positive lead in this movie.
So everyone's addressing this. We should too. Is Incredibles 2 as good as or better than Incredibles 1?
You know, I gotta be honest with you, it's not. It just isn't. There's a 14-year gap between the last one and this one.
And The Incredibles is arguably the best of the Pixar movies.
Yeah.
I love that movie.
Most definitely. And I had such high expectations going into the movie theater. And also, it didn't help that before the movie started, there was actually, they had all the people who did the voices in the movie. They had Samuel L. Jackson. Who else was in the...
Craig T. Nelson.
Craig T. Nelson.
Holly Hunter.
They all came on, they were all on screen right before the movie started. And they actually, you know, jokingly apologized for waiting 14 years to do the remake.
Oh, funny.
Now, there's nothing wrong with that. It's just that when I saw that and there was a direct, they were kind of breaking down the fourth wall type of situation and they were speaking to us, I really hyped myself up for the movie even more. I was like, oh, well, this movie, they're going to hit a home run. This is going to be right out the ballpark. And it was good. But it just didn't live up to Incredibles 1. I don't think that it could have possibly done that. And I really don't think that the 14-year gap helped at all. Oh. So it definitely wasn't as good as the first one.
All right, let's talk about the short at the beginning of Incredibles 2.
Is this the half review?
This is the half.
Got
little
it.
Half one. Little
it's
half
directed one. By Domi Shi. I don't know if that's a girl or a guy. Don't ask me. But what do you want to say about the short?
Look, man, I'll keep it short and sweet, just like Bao, the name of the short film. It made me cry. These things, they have a knack. Pixar has a knack for getting these short films to pull the heartstrings of the men and the women that are watching these movies. It's a lovely story about the relationship between a mother and a son. Maybe because I'm a son and I have a close relationship with my mom. Maybe that's why it got me. But I was crying and I was trying my hardest to not cry. And I had Hooman right next to me. Hooman actually leaned over when the short movie was over and he was asking me about it. And I was like trying to respond, but like not look at him at the same time. I'm like, yeah, man. Yeah, it was good, man. It was good. Yeah. I got to go get an icy. I'll be right back. You know, I was like trying to hide the fact that I was weeping, but it was that good. And I don't know. Pixar, shout out to Pixar. They just have a knack for coming up with short films that will touch your heart.
Domi is a girl, by the way. I want to agree with that. I cry too. I brought a bunch of kids with me. I looked at them. I go, hey, who else cried at that? They're like, not us.
Heartless.
Heartless. The kids today, heartless.
Just heartless
kids. They just
kids.
Don't know.
They take their mom for granted.
That's what it is. That's what I wanted to tell him that, too. I wanted like, just crying. Like, you take your mother for granted, man. It was sad.
Sum it all up. Let me just say this. I really loved the screenplay of Incredibles 2. Brad Bird wrote it, and he directed it. So, Brad, you knocked it out of the park once again. The film looks incredible stylistically. Right.
That's my favorite part of the first one is that sort of discovering that whole world and just like just loving this world that they lived in.
So this one, you know, it's not overall better than Incredibles 1, but stylistically it's better.
Oh.
So if you're going for that set design and the cinematography, I know it's weird to talk about this with an animated film, But it, I mean, there were times where I leaned over to Rudy and I'm like, oh man, can you imagine living in that house? Look at that furniture. I don't even notice these things. I was like, beautiful.
So I'll freak out over
it. Oh, you're gonna lose
totally
your
ass. Chic.
Yeah. Oh,
I loved it because it was set. It's like set in mid-century design. Like even their house that they moved into in the suburbs. I was just like, oh, look at that house. Yeah. Oh, the architecture. It's amazing. And the island in the first one. Where, you know, Dr. Evil or whatever that guy's name was, the little pods as they went around and on the volcanic island and the wall of lava. Oh, my God. I freaking loved the set.
It was a feast for the eyes.
It was
a feast for the eyes.
Well, when you see this, they're not in the suburbs anymore. They're in a hidden house, which is so ridiculously beautiful.
Is it as nice as Tony Stark's house?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Oh, absolutely. God.
They hooked them up. For being in the program that they were in, they hooked them up with the house.
The other thing I really liked is Brad really addresses real-world problems, problems that affect human beings on Earth, which is, you know, we're all slave to our screen.
Right.
Mm-hmm. He addresses that and does it in a good way.
And they do it in a clever way, though, because, again, it's like 1950s America, so there's no iPhones or anything, but they still get the message across of like, hey, look, we're paying way too much attention to little screens instead of looking at the actual world.
So I want to tip my hat to everyone at Pixar who worked on this. Well done. Well done.
As usual.
I'm giving it 4 1/3 Persian rugs.
Hey, will Vinny and his family enjoy?
Well, Rudy does have one criticism.
Yeah,
on
I'm only going to give it a solid 4.
All right.
But the only reason I'm not going to give it more than that is because there is a lot of dialogue in this. And I thought for this being a movie that attracts a lot of kids, I thought there was just a little too much dialogue, a lot of like lulls in the movie because they had to have a lot of back and forth. So, but Bao, the short movie before that, 6 piñatas.
Oh,
6 piñatas.
6 of them.
So good.
Wow. Stuffed with all the good candy.
Stuffed with the delicious
you
candy, all the good stuff.
Cry.
Dude, I'm going to predict Domi is going to win the Academy Award for Best Short Film.
It was good, man. It's too real. I'm going to have to go to the bathroom and cry after this.
Well, that was an excellent
thanks for the extra time.
Thank you very much. Thank
you
very much.
Thank you for coming in today.
Most definitely.
It's Rudy Ortiz. That is his handle on Instagram, confusingly enough. It's Rudy Ortiz.
It's not 9 Rudy Ortiz.
No,
it's not 9. I don't know that guy anymore.
It's Rudy Ortiz. No apostrophe. It's Rudy Ortiz. He's almost at 3,000 followers. We want to try and get him to 3,000 followers.
Let's make it happen, people.
It's Rudy Ortiz. Do you have any gigs you want to...
Yeah, actually, I'll be at the San Jose Improv on June 21st. I'd love everybody to come on out. So June 21st, San Jose Improv. And then the 22nd through the 24th, I'll be at Laughs Unlimited in Sacramento.
All right.
Should be good.
Thank you guys very much. Are
Thank you guys.
Are you about to say? Oh, okay. You just look like you're ready. We'll be back in just a second. Alice at 97.3, Sarah and Vinny, Alice's morning show. Thank you to our special guest today. It's Rudy Ortiz.
Or Ruddy Ortiz.
Sure. It's Ruddy Ortiz. Rudy and whom, and of course, did we build up this week's movies review.
Mm-hmm. I got a text. Someone goes, Rudy's on your show like all the time. How does he not know how to say your kid's name?
I know. That is kind of weird.
I don't know. I guess he doesn't listen to us. What do you want from me?
Isla Fisher.
I'm going to punch him in the head. Don't you worry. Who said that? Who sent it?
Her name's Amy.
Amy, good
I'll
call. Yeah. Or so maybe if you're annoyed by Isla Fisher, you don't want to follow It's Rudy Ortiz. But we are trying to get him to 3,000 followers. So,
yeah.
He's not there yet?
He knows exactly how. I think he says he has 2,882.
Exactly, right?
Yeah.
Good, he knew, good memory.
He knew exactly how many he had, which was sort of funny.
Pathetic.
Funny, pathetic, one of those. So thanks for listening today. Have a great day. It's actually going to be a little cooler than it was yesterday,
thankfully,
which is a relief. And tomorrow's supposed to be even cooler.
Like, yes,
actually
that's good
be,
news.
You know, a cold snap-ish over the weekend.
And as you know, it's your favorite day.
Oh, my God. Tomorrow's Friday.
Yeah.
Cannot wait to celebrate our weekly holiday with you tomorrow. Have a good one. And we'll see you then.
Thank you.
Sarah and Vinny.
Calling all pop culture enthusiasts.
Are you obsessed with all things celebrity?
Do you live for the drama, the laughs, and the unexpected moments that unfold on social media? then you're going to want to tune in to the Comments by Celebs podcast.
Join us three times a week as we deep dive into every aspect of pop culture.
Whether it's dissecting the latest trends or just chatting about your favorite celebs, Comments by Celebs has you covered.
We have new episodes out every week. Follow and listen to Comments by Celebs on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.